Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. We are now live on the Middle Men Show on blogtalkradio.com. You are now listening to the best show on the internet radio live. And I am Alan.
And this is Kevin. What's going on, player?
And this is Jennifer.
What's going on, everybody?
That sounded a little weak there, buddy.
Again, what's
up? They're never satisfied.
Never.
It's okay.
Never, ever, 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 ever.
Right.
You already know.
So, Jen, how was your weekend?
It's been great. We had a bunch of rain down here, and so today is sunny and beautiful, and it feels great outside. I hope it's like the rest of the week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Nice day out here.
Yeah. I think we've been getting a lot of rain across the southern states here.
But y'all didn't have that flood like we had out here, man. People had water. I saw the most amazing thing yesterday. A car swallowed up by a hole. Completely.
Wow.
This guy was driving down the road, man, and this car just got sucked up by a sinkhole.
Wow. That's scary.
Yeah. Water out here is real dangerous. But, I mean, it's dried up somewhere.
Yeah, but it just proves to the fact America's infrastructure is failing. Our roads, our bridges, they're pretty old. You know, this is a wake-up call for all of us. Like, we need to fix that stuff.
Actually, I wouldn't say more so fix it. We need to try new things.
Right.
We need to try something new, because if we're still using combustible engines, I mean, it's 2009 going on 2010, man. I was looking for the George Jets and cars. You know,
yeah, me too. I was looking for all that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know how when you was a kid, you probably would be thinking like, okay, yeah, I'll fly.
Yeah. I wanted one of those flying skateboards off of Back into the Future.
Oh yeah, man. That was pretty dope. That was dope.
Yeah.
They had me fooled for the longest, thinking that they did that for real.
Right.
In actuality, it was all a ploy, green screen. Buy me one of those. I can imagine myself in Jamaica every weekend.
Right. Well, people, if you're now tuning into the Middle Men Show, today we are discussing, do you still believe in the change? And, of course, we're going to be talking about our president, President Barack Obama, and his agenda and the support of our U.S. government and the people of the United States. Are we still supporting them? Do you still believe in the change and his direction of the United States government? We're also going to be talking about the underlying factors of why people's support may have fallen since the election. You know, are we more burnt out or apathetic? And also, is race really a factor in this president that's contributing to a lot of people backing out on our president? So we want to try to get into all of this and try to have a good discussion today. But, Tim, I think you had some things in which you wanted to bring up that was in the news. I know you said about a guy who sexually molested an 8-year-old or eight-month-old baby?
An 8-month-old baby. The incident actually happened last year, and the trial is coming up this year. It was in Arkansas. But a man, he tried to, I don't think he did it, but he tried to penetrate an 8-month-old baby.
Oh, man.
So that's awful. I mean,
that's
beyond
it. They need to do something serious
to him. Right, right.
People
like that, they are just really sick. They're just really sick.
Yep, and also what happened in Kentucky was a man, he was a census worker, and he was going door-to-door for the census, and someone has stripped him of his clothes, carved the word, said, into his chest, and also they hung him in a tree.
What? Wow.
Yeah. And that happened in Kentucky. It was like maybe a week ago.
Oh, things are getting crazy, man. I don't know what to say. Things are getting very crazy. I mean, a lot of times you look around and you look at the news. I mean, it's just constant ignorance, constant negativity. I mean, people doing things of that nature, man. I mean, what's the purpose? You know, we all live, we all die. But in the meantime, what you doing in the middle, man? I don't know, man. That's crazy. That's somebody's brother, son, father, or something.
I wish the news were also, you know, present something more positive out there to us, because there are a lot of positive things that the news don't show as well. And, you know, a lot of the things which we see first off, you know, somebody getting shot, a store getting broken into, you know.
Well, it's because that doesn't sell. Like, you know, you reporting on some kids doing good or some community service, you know, people aren't going to tune into that, which says a lot about our society. But people will, you know, tune in to see some destruction.
Only thing I can say with that right there, Gene, is the fact. I mean, not a fact, but just my opinion. It's pushing that garbage to a certain demographics and a certain ethnic group, which, you know, we didn't got kind of caught up with it also. But, I mean, how many people you know really want to see carnage at all times? We're not Romans.
Yes, we are. We are. Dr. Cornel West speaks about how we as a people, black people, white people, all of us have entered a period called the Ice Age, where it's fashionable now to be indifferent. How many horrible things people see every day, and how many people are moved or compelled to do anything about it? Right now, it's fashionable to be indifferent. When you see someone suffering on the news, do you get in your car and go down to that homeless shelter and say, I want to help stop this injustice? No, none of us do. We have become a society of indifferent people.
I can agree with that. Gene, I can agree with that, but I'm just saying, once you become so desensitized to certain situations and issues, you ain't going to jump in your car and ride out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wish people would, you know what I mean? Because it's to the point where people are looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, that's horrible. And, you know, I wish that wouldn't happen, but I'm living my life trying to survive myself. And it's not the fact that we all are, like I said, quote unquote, Romans. And if you ain't catching my drift on that one, then so sorry. But it's real crazy. You know?
Yeah.
It's real crazy how everything is going right now. We just looking at it like, oh, it's cool, it's okay.
Right, it's gonna blow over. It's gonna blow over. Something's gonna happen. But, you know, like Gene always tell us, you need to stand up, put something forward, and make it happen.
Yes.
Most definitely. So what we got today on the menu again for everyone?
Well, today, people, we are talking about the president, of course. Do you still believe in the change? I know I do. Do you still believe in his directions as far as of what the United States is doing? Do we as people support our president enough of his new agenda? And what are the underlying factors of why some people have fallen since the election? Are we burnt out, or is it just for apathetic? And is race really a factor in his presidency? And we're going to get into a lot of other topics. Healthcare reform, stimulus package, the economy, the Republican Democratic views, also increasing the education awareness as well, and any other issues that you want to discuss on the Middleman Show today. And that leads us to our first song of the day, More or Less, by Talia Kweli.
Get on what we need. Less sympathizing, more building, less destroying, more jobs, less unemployment, less skip the devil, less enjoyment, more originality, less fighting, north pocket big, more community activism, less pigs, more blacksmithing, death trucks, less skeffing than the rest, cause the rest sucks, they got the shit on messed up. More marijuana, less coke, more accountability for politicians. Before we shout and less vote, more schools, less prisons, more freestyles, less written, more serious shit and less kidding. More history, less mystery, more Beyonce, less Britney, more happiness, less misery, more victory, less losses, more workers, we all bosses. Of course it's reflection, 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 reflection. Son, I live above the rim and pay the fool like my nigga would. Crack a toe, niggas wish, yo, wish a nigga would. Crack a joke like you want a battle for the mic. This is Brooklyn, the planet. Y'all niggas, it's your satellites revolve around my every word. I address the crowd like Lincoln at Gettysburg. Surrounded by the heavy herb, the crowd is more or less war to war, here for the pure hip-hop. How I'm rocking, got them dropping their jaw. Fire marshal blocking the door, this crack like a chop in the roar. This the shit the cops are stopping us for. This the brain of the tech and the motherfucking be nuts. Slice like the nip tuck, specialize in deep cuts. This the music that you ride to, provided to you by quality and high tech. The lives too, too, yeah. What we need, what we need. Time the more bomb shit, the less the devil got a grip. I get it loose, you gotta slip away, the ghetto gotta get more for a dollar, more fresh goods for purchase. Less liquor stores, less churches that be looking like corner stores. More rap songs for stress purpose with less misogyny and less cursing. Let's put more depth in our verses till they left on the surface while we stomp through the underground. The cop don't come around. You sort of hoping for that reflection. You sort of open, I'ma heed the call, I'm chosen. I don't play with your emotions. Stop acting so
that was Khalil Kweli. More or less. And if you're now tuning in to the Middlemen Show, we appreciate you all tuning in, people on our chat board, people listening online, and also our people who listen to it on the phone. Appreciate you all tuning in today. And today we're talking about, do we still believe in the change? Do we still believe in a direction of what the United States government is taking us? And are we supportive enough of our president's new agenda? And also we're going to get into what are the underlying factors of why some people's support have fallen since the election, and is race really a factor in this presidency? We're going to get into a lot of other different topics as well, and if you all have a comment, you know, feel free to comment at any time. We want to keep this open today. And, people, you know, we really want to get into this because we do see some changes and some people's views. You know, at first it was a great big party when President Obama was elected, and I don't think people have been patient enough because he does have to work with, you know, a lot of people who don't agree with him, who've been in their seat as far as in Congress longer than, you know, he has, as far as him being a senator and, you know, all the other positions in which he has. And now that he's president, you know, and of course, I feel, you know, that they may feel that he's incompetent, but they are really afraid of change.
It's
something
more
new.
The same, man. More the same. I mean, you think about it, Al. I mean, people in power, do you think they won't change? Because if change happens to that certain absoluteness, then,
they
going to lose their power.
Yeah,
they looking at it like, oh, my God, if he really does this, oh, my God, I can't control things no more.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They need to go in there and slap every last one on him anyway.
Right. And when he put that salary cap on all those people who was making over $100,000, you know, he needed to do that. He needed to put something there. But y'all already got that money. Why do y'all need to make, you know, $200,000 and $300,000 a year when you already making enough to take care of what you need?
But let's up that number a little bit, dude. Let's go into millions and billions. Because
right.
You think about all these bank corporate people that's out here doing the thing, man. And, I mean, dude, they getting salaries like, I mean, if you got a job where you making a million or close to a 100 million or above, and you like, okay, man, I got paid enough. I'm going to chill this year. I'm going to take a dollar for my salary. Man, what the world is going on? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm taking a dollar for a year, but, you know, I'm caked up already.
Right.
Crazy.
But I also think more or less what saddens me is the people that said that they believed in change, and where are they now? Well, I believe personally, during the election, when President Obama was running for president, I took that very seriously. When I checked his name in the box for president, I took that very seriously. I not only made a commitment to, you know, that's who I wanted for president. He's the president. He's not God. He cannot make change without our help. And I think that people are forgetting that we have to, you know, help him in the agenda that he wants to move and to make. You know, so many of us complain, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. But the change that we want, we have to help him move in that direction. And I don't think in the country we're doing that.
You know, not into defense and not to be on the other side of that comment, Jim, but I'm going to keep it real. We live in a society where if my team is not doing good, I'm going to boo them. You know what I mean?
And I'm
if it ain't going the way I want to go, I'm going to just leave it alone. You got to think about it. The attention span of the average American ain't really hitting on nothing right now anyway. So, at that same note, you think about everybody that really did get down with, you know, President Obama doing the election and they got energized. And you know, they was really out there for him. Some of those same people right now chilling on the couch like, man, what's going on? I ain't really got nothing to do. But
don't
on
have
the
a clue.
Back end of that, I still think it's a part, it's partially part on his campaign as far, not campaign, but the people that's in his, you know, his background that's helping him do things. They need to get back out there and energize everybody else that's supposed to be out here right now helping this man get this health care stuff.
They are. They are. As a person that works with, you know, people that are, you know, aggressively involved, people are out there now doing stuff. There's websites. There's more interactive opportunities to interact with this presidency than ever any other presidency before. It's the people that have moved into this, as I mentioned when we were talking before, into this ice age. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's cool to be indifferent. This is our country. This is our future. Why does he have to push people to be excited about their own future?
Well,
to be excited,
I mean, before now. Keep it real. How many people you know that were excited about anything in America? Only people
that was
excited. Let me break it down to you. The only people that were excited were the people that were making money.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
Exactly right.
The people
exactly
that
right.
really doing something, having something. Them the ones that gonna stay motivated to keep what they have. The ones that ain't got nothing or don't have anything, yeah, they gonna sit back on the, you know, just sit back and be like, hey, I ain't really got nothing, so I ain't really trying to get involved with that right now. I mean, we've had this discussion before,
You gotta think about this too. That level of people in that particular class, they have so much other things that are on their mind as far as taking care of their kids, taking care of home. That thing, you know, as far as, you know, them being involved with the government, that is from, like, the back part of their list at that particular time.
I've always grown up with Go ahead, Al.
Again?
I said, go ahead, Al.
Okay. I also wanted to say this, too, is that the people that we elect as far as our state representatives, state senators, and all those people, you know, are they actually following through with what they say that they're going to do?
Hell no.
It seems like to me every time they show something
on
prime example. Right. Prime example. I mean, the only thing, in my opinion, is that they're doing things for certain constituents. You know what I mean? The ones that really can make things happen for them. But it seems like even out here in Georgia, Saxley, what's his name? Chambliss?
Chambliss.
That dude got a gay name. I'm sorry, y'all, but he got a gay name. But anyway, this same cat was the same cat talking all this noise about Obama a couple of weeks and maybe a month ago or so. This storm came through here in Georgia, wiped out the areas. Matter of fact, Paulding County, that was an area where they did not show the Obama speech to the kids. Certain parts of Cobb County, certain parts of northern part of Atlanta. Those areas, man, God worked in so many mysterious ways, man. As soon as you look at it, man, boom, they got hit with that flood. About 2 days ago, 3 days ago on the radio and on the news, I saw this story where Saxby sat up there and basically kissed Obama's ass, told him thank you for the quick response and all this, because as soon as the storm happened, they were like, oh, my God, he's not moving quick enough for us. But 2 damn days later, they got people on the ground out here. 2 days later. Now, y'all follow
right.
me with that. When
right.
Katrina happened, how many damn
Ooh.
Days did it take for them to get out there to them people?
I think some people that this is the state was
trying
to
pull people
there.
I'm not saying this from a negative standpoint as in regards to our President Obama. I commend him for doing what he did, because I think he would have did the same thing for Katrina people. But the thing is, our government works. Jen gave me a little, and I hope you read that again, what you read to me a couple of days ago about how the government really works. All the people got something negative to say about the government. It works. What can you say bad about something that really works? Social Security, it works. You can call it socialism.
Right.
You can call it whatever you want to call it. It's working. Maybe you don't agree with certain things about it. That's fine. You have your right to do that. But, hey,
mm-hmm.
it is what it is.
And I think Al touched on something interesting where you said that people have other things on their mind. Well, Al, this presidency, for the last 8 years, no one has been paying attention to what is happening in the poor communities, what is happening in the middle-class communities. They have been ignored for 8 years. And this president, like health care, for an example, he's saying that a lot of people either don't have health care because they cannot afford it, or they're simply just regular people and the health care that they have isn't good enough and the system is ripping them off. Instead of getting behind him and saying, this affects me, I want to support this, we sit in our houses and we watch our TVs and we complain and we don't do anything about it.
No, Jen, who are the people, and you saying we, and I mean everybody on their phone is black right now at the moment, the host and the co-host and all this stuff.
What I was saying was
that, you know, as far as people actually getting out there, you know, you have so many people that work so much that they don't have enough time to actually get out there because they're concerned about what
you
their kids going to eat.
See, when you, those are,
but,
the excuses are for the incompetent. There
how
are,
is
you
that
are
incompetent if my
child
got to eat?
Cut. No, listen to me. Let me finish. People watch TV every day. People do. The internet is a wonderful thing. People look at all kind of trash videos and everything on the internet all the time. But you don't have 2 minutes to go on your senator or your congressman's website and type them a two-sentence statement telling them, I want you to support the president and his agenda. You'll be surprised how if they got a reaction and they knew that their voters were demanding this, they would have no choice but to pay attention. They get to do what they want to because the people are silent and they let it happen and they don't speak up. And
well, Jen, I don't know what world, I mean, Jen, I understand that you're an active person.
That's the
you
type
get out
of
there
attitude.
And you do your thing, but I'm just saying, though, you can't
hold
everybody to
your standard.
Hold on. I'm just saying. I'm just letting Jen know. You can't hold everybody to your standards.
Right.
You can hold people accountable for their actions, but not to your standards.
I hold everybody. Everybody can type two sentences to their senator or congressman. That's not a big standard. So go ahead, Mr. Caller, Al.
Hello, how you doing? You're live on the Middleman Show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? It's more of a...
What's going on?
How y'all doing?
All right, we enjoyed your show last week.
Thank you. I enjoyed y'all too. I haven't laughed like that in a long time. It was a good show. It really was. I have to say, I really, really like the topic that you all are discussing this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a topic that really needs to be discussed more often. My comments, well, for one, I did vote for President Obama. I was very happy that he won.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very happy that he is our president. Just like with anyone, there are things that I don't agree with what he has been doing. But then again, too, for the majority, I do agree with, you know, most of the things he's been doing. One thing that I will say that I did not care for, and it's still kind of like up in the air, like some are saying that it's not true, that it is true, but it seems as though his administration, it appears that they were trying to kind of poke their nose in New York politics. You know, it was all over times that his administration was stating that Patterson should not run for re-election for governor.
Yeah.
If that is the case, I feel as though that was really none of his business.
That was a black gentleman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
David Patterson is black. He's African American. He was actually Governor Spitzer's lieutenant governor. However, when Spitzer got caught up in the prostitute scandal, that's when Patterson took over.
Okay.
Now, apparently, it has been stated that the Obama administration has asked Patterson not to run for re-election because it will hurt the Democratic Party.
Right.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, I don't believe that's true. I want Patterson to run again, and I will vote for him. I want him to run for re-election, and I would vote for him. My only thing is, I just felt as though that was really none of his or his administration's business. Now they're stating that it has never happened, that that was not the case. So my question is, where did this come from? Because from what we have seen, how our president has been in the past, when there has been something that has been said about him where it has been outright untrue, he has come out and spoke about it.
Right.
He is not speaking about it this time. It's to the point where Governor Patterson's wife even said, stay out of New York politics. So like I said, my thing is this. If it's not true, then our president needs to come up and say, you know what? What was said about my administration is not true. We never did that. We never said that. And if it is true, then in my opinion, he needs to stay out of New York politics. He got enough going on right now with what he has to clean up, because he has a huge mess to clean up. And there are some people that feel as though he's just cleaning up Bush's mess, but he's not. He's cleaning up Reagan's mess.
Yeah.
If I may play devil's advocate for a moment, someone who like I, in Georgia, I'm very involved with the Democratic Party here. And I do believe, now I like Patterson. I admired him for coming out with his dirt, and I admired him for just really stepping up and doing a great job during some confusion and really swept it up under the rug and got back to business as usual. I admire that about him. But as far as them, I think more than president, I think it's the Democratic Party that's putting its hand in some of these decisions. People are very scared about 2010. I think one thing that I will say about President Obama that worries me a lot is his he wants to be approved of so bad. He tries to get everyone's approval. I think, basically he should say screw you a lot of the time. And I think that a lot of people in the Democratic Party are pressuring him and telling him that we're going to lose in the House and Senate in 2010 because people are so angry. And I wish he would just step back and realize that those are just a few people that are angry. The majority of Americans, even according to the polls, are with him and behind him, and we can't please everyone. But I do think more than this presidency, it is the Democratic Party that is looking towards next year's election, and they do not think that he can win. They think he's unwinnable, and they want to place their bets on a winner. And that's just how, Washington politics is.
Right. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but my only thing is this. It shouldn't have been where the Obama administration has suggested that Patterson not run for re-election. To me, I just felt as though that was just uncalled for.
So who do you think should have made that decision? Because, I mean...
Actually,
I'm not,
Patterson.
I mean, you're right. You're right. I believe he should have made that decision. But wouldn't you say that if they were looking at it from the standpoint of, if he did run again and it did somewhat hurt the chances of getting more... getting a better chance to get more people elected or keeping their seats, whatever, in 2010. I mean, should he take one for the team or should he be like, man, no, this is my job?
We have a super house. Like, now we have a super house and we have control of the House and Senate. But we have barely enough Democrats that are on our team now. And I think they're scared that we can't even get something
to
do with health care. The
Democratic Party is separated too.
Yeah, we cannot get bills passed. And if we lose a seat, that means he's basically a lamed-up president who can't do anything. And I think that's where the fear is coming from. They want control of the situation because it is such a delicate situation. We don't want him to be a lamed-up president. We want him to get some things done.
Yes, we do.
Can't just have without votes.
We thank both of you guys for your comments, and I want you to stay on the phone there, Miss Lady.
I will.
We're going to go into our third song of the day, and the situation almost at a point of no return. Just like our third song by Immortal Technique. Y'all check this out, Middleman Talk Show, Blog Talk Radio. We hit them.
Yeah. It's that real this time around. Revolutionary Volume 2. It's on now, motherfucker. Lock and load. This is the point of no return. I can never go back. Life without parole. Upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. But fuck that. I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far. There ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Taínos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfuckers made me out of self-righteous hatred, and now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix, a suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow, lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, you not ready. This is the point of no return and nobody can stop it. Malcolm Little when he knelt before Elijah Muhammad. The comet that killed the dinosaurs changing the earth. They love to criticize, they always say I change for the worse. Like prescription pills when you misusing them, nigga. The Templar Knights when they took Jerusalem, nigga, and figured out what was buried under Solomon's temple. Al-Aqsa, the name is not coincidental. I know too much, the government is trying to murder me. No coming back, like cutting your wrists open vertically. How could the serpent be purposely put in charge of the country? Genetic engineered sickness spread amongst me. My people are so hungry that they attack without reason, like a fucking dog ripping off the hand that feeds them. Immortal Technique is treason to the Patriot Act. So come and get me, motherfucker, cause I'm not coming back. This is the point from which I can never return. And if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat. Cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before. Cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore. This is the point of no return, nigga. You better believe this. Mary Magdalene giving birth to the children of Jesus. The evolution of the world, bloody and dramatic. Human beings killing monkeys to conquer the planet. The kingdoms of Africa and Mesopotamia. Machine gun in your body with depleted uranium. This is the age of microchips and titanium. The dark side of the moon in contact with aliens. I started out like Australians, criminal minded. Broke into hell, tore it down and built a city behind it. Southpaw, murderous methodology, nigga. Remember that I'm just a man, don't follow me, nigga. Cause once you pass the point, you can never go home. You gotta face the possibility of dying alone. So tell me, motherfucker, how could you die for the throne when you don't even got the fucking heart to die for your own? It rains acid, one day the earth will cry from a stone, and you'll be looking at the world living inside of a dome. Computerized humanity living inside of a clone. This is the place where the unknown is living and real. Wormwood, the planet X, and the seven.
And we are now back on. That was Immortal Technique, the point of no return. And if you're just tuning in to the Middleman Show today, we are talking about, do you still believe in the change, President Obama? And also, we, on our first segment, we did discuss about what are your beliefs of the direction that the United States government is going. Are we supportive enough of our president's new agenda? We also got into our seats as far as the Congress members as well, what actions we need to take. And we're going to get into now, is race really an issue that is actually a factor in this particular presidency? And we were discussing, you know, that earlier. Jen and KG and I were discussing this earlier about the race issue, and somewhat I do feel that race is still an issue. Of course, people are going to say that it's not, to cover it up, of course, but it is an issue. It is an issue. At the end of the day, they still look at him as a black man.
I want you to look at him as a black man. I disagree with people that are not African American. This makes me so angry, that are not my friend. I do not like the statement that people make to say that they're colorblind. If you are colorblind, that means you are erasing my race, you're erasing my history, and you are not giving credibility to me as a person. Now, if you are my friend and you respect me, then I think Dr. I love Cornell West. Dr. West always talks about being love lust. You know, that you are in love with me as my person. That means you respect my blackness. You respect my, you know, my history, my culture, that you respect me as a person. I don't want people to not see Barack Obama as a black man, because it's very important that America views him as a black man.
Yeah.
I can understand too, but I would want us to, well, I don't think we're never going to get away from the race issue, but if we can just acknowledge everybody as a person, man instead of white woman, white man, black woman, black man. Of course, we see that visibly, but if we were blind or colorblind,
you wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know who would be running, you know. So the color of his skin does have a factor in that.
I think that race plays a factor in not only Barack Obama, but this country, because I think race is embedded in our capitalist society.
It is.
When you have a situation where your country wealth was built on the backs of other people, it's a problem. So, you think about it. We're only, 40 years, 50 years removed from being separate. So, we can't even begin to fathom this country without race at this point in juncture of where we are. Yeah, it's 2009 going on 2010. But we cannot begin to fathom this country without race. There's no way. It would take over a couple of hundred years.
I agree. I certainly agree. I think people start to recognize that and acknowledge that our country was a corporation before it ever was a country, and that corporation was built upon racism, that until we acknowledge that and try to fix that mentality that still goes on today, you know, we're never going to change, and there'll always be this elephant in the room that everyone is afraid to speak about.
Oh, I ain't scared to talk about it.
Most people are. Most people are afraid to talk. Well, we know you're not. You're not afraid to talk about anything, but, you know, most people don't want to talk about race, especially, you know, I find it funny with, you know, my white friends or friends of other races. They don't want to talk about it. They want to go to the thing, well, I don't see your color. And to not see my color.
The first thing that they say, they use that as a cop-out.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, it's easy to do wrong. You feel what I'm saying? It's so easy, because the fact is they sitting up there, they looking at the situation like, I don't see nothing to offend you. And then on top of that, privilege.
No.
The white privilege. You got to understand that right there.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't really have to explain themselves to nobody.
You know, right. And they always say, you know, my friends are black. My best friends are black. Whatever.
Hey, let's get Marva back on, man, and let her finish her comment, yo.
Okay.
Hi. I like what Jen said before. I think what you stated as far as when people make the statement, they're colorblind. I like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though they are erasing, you know, your race, your culture, your history. And also, too, it's a cop-out.
Yeah.
It is. It's a big cop-out. And the other statement that was made, I don't know why, some white people feel that they just have to say, oh, I have black friends. I mean, you don't have too many black people running around making sure they say, oh, I have white friends.
But the thing about it, as far as when it's regarding our president and the situation what we have right now in this country, it's so many things have gone wrong in this year's time, as far as even before this year's time. I mean, with racist comments, monkeys on ropes, signs with this man painted as Hitler. I mean, what part of the game is that?
I know. I mean, even down to the incident with the New York Post, where they had the
cartoon.
And there was a congressman that called Barack a boy. He was like, that boy better do something. He called him a boy.
And you know what? See, the thing about it, what's scary, we have these young Republicans. And we need to talk about the Democrats and Republicans. You know, realistically, I don't like neither one of them. I don't care for either party, because I'm not born, bred, whatever party. Forget about them. You know what I mean? Do what you need to do for the people. But when you're looking at these young Republicans, you think about the legacy that they inherited. As far as from their uncles and aunts and all these different people that are putting them in these positions, they're going to carry on that same attitude
exactly.
that other ones had, you think about it, Strong Thurmond had a black daughter. The cat that called him a lie was the one that went against old girl family saying that they a lie because he didn't have a black daughter. So you think about all that racism just keep going down. They got some young cats right behind them right now looking at it like, okay, we're going to do the same thing they did to keep what? Power. Mm-hmm. Everything always equal back up to power.
But I think that James, not Henry James, he's an author, and he made a statement that America is a great country, but it is the country, it is the civilization that believes it's a hotel civilization, meaning that we always think the lights are on. We always think that, especially the young Republicans, these Tea Party people, they do not want change because they always want things to be them catered to them, the hotel society. Everything is catered to them. The lights are always on. Always have access to wealth and always have access to money.
You're saying it in a real, you're saying it in a political correct way. I call it white privilege.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's keep it real. It's white privilege.
But what gets me is that that attitude is totally, they're the patriots. They're so patriotic. But that attitude is the exact opposite of what democracy is. And I think that we have forgotten as a nation that, you know, what democracy is. And we also are not holding people accountable to fulfill what this nation is. America is a great nation. It's a great idea. It's a great theory
idea.
To live the way that we do when so many places they don't. But we have to start holding our government accountable and holding the people of this government accountable of keeping our democracy as one. It's in danger. And
I see, my thing is, too, with that, everybody knows what we have to do to get to that next level as far as providing health care, enough jobs for people, decreasing the fuels in our Congress. Let's do it. I mean, what's the problem of us continually working on this health care form when everybody knows that we need health care? We have so many people out here who are getting misdiagnosed due to malpractice, people who are not provided enough care under their insurance due to the insurance company not listing that in their plan. Like you said, it's all about power and wealth. We know what we need to do.
What will you do on your way to work tomorrow? Will you call your senator and your congressman's office and you demand that when you leave a message? Because
that's
what they'll put you through.
Look, Jen, you carrying on just like these people do. I mean, everybody got their way of doing it. Just like you doing it, like, say you love America. If you don't love America, you're not patriotic. Say you love America.
Right.
Kids, man, I mean, dude, man, let me, I mean, you know
what
I'm saying, how I get,
can you
I mean,
do?
Look,
how our system works. You must
the
learn
thing about
the
it, what starts any revolution, the conversation of that revolution?
But a revolution cannot be continue without participants. People need to participate.
The participation start with talking first, don't it?
Yeah, call your congressman.
We're talking about it right now. So if Al calls his congressman tomorrow, that means everything going to change tomorrow.
No, it's not.
All right,
if
then.
Al calls and he has a friend call, and that influences another person.
So the
call.
Thing about it, why should I be the only Mohican doing it? Let's get everybody up on the same page.
You know what? I refuse to have that attitude. I refuse to think that I'm going to be the only person because I'm not. I'm going to continue to call. I'm going to continue to write letters because it's just me now. But if I can, by talking about this right now, I can influence someone to write their senator.
And that's why we did this show, man. You never know who's listening. They might get up and want to do this tomorrow. The thing about it, we're putting the conversation in the air just as many other people are. The thing about
my thing is, too, I feel like one ant cannot stop me from walking. But if I have a million ants all over my legs, I'm going to fall down.
That's true.
If I can get a million people behind us as far as listening to what we talk about on our shows, they're going to talk about it to their people. Their people are going to spread the word, too, because 9 out of 10, you're going to run across somebody who is in Congress. And they're going to talk about it as well. Just by me going up there and calling, you know, that's just one voicemail that they're going to delete.
That kind of attitude, if we kept that attitude where, why should I, we will be sitting in the back of the bus, just like during the
Civil War. We're not saying that we're not doing anything.
What will I do? Why should I not get 50 cents?
We're not saying that we're not going to do it, then. We're saying that what we're doing, this could be an alternate approach. By us doing this show right here, this is an alternate
This is not going to reach your congressman. You pay taxes for
his
job.
But yet and still, you sit up here on every show and say, call your congressman. You're not talking to just us. You're talking to everyone that listens to this show, everyone that downloads this show. You're talking to everyone that talks about this show. Therefore, the conversation starts a web effect, and it keeps growing. And the more people that pays attention to what we're saying, boom, that gives us the opportunity to push the initiative. The same way the president do.
How do you think Rush Limbaugh got his listener? He started by actually, you know, he has so many people behind him on his radio show, he don't have to make any phone calls because he had that millions of people behind him.
True that.
We can actually, we have our own voice by doing this. This is the purpose of the Middleman Show, to let our voice be heard.
This is great, but I'm just saying, if I'm saying on this show and I'm using
okay,
my voice.
Okay, I got something for you then. Hold on, Jen. I'm going to call my congressman tomorrow, so what you got to say after that? Good. That's the only thing you're going to have to say. I'm going to call my congressman tomorrow. What you got to say after that?
I'm going to call mine tomorrow.
What are we supposed to do next then?
And then the day after that, you tell your friend to call too.
I'm telling the people that's on the phone right now. This is not enough. We are actually spreading the word right now, too.
We can actually reach more people on the internet versus me tapping somebody on the shoulder.
You're missing my point.
Let's get back on subject. Healthcare, Jen.
Can I say this first?
Go ahead, Jen.
Tell someone to do something, you must do it yourself, too. That was my point. If I tell you to do it, then I'm doing it too. That's fine. We appreciate that. We are doing it, then. We're not going to continue with this show.
How about this? Let's talk about healthcare before we run out of time now. Healthcare. Right. What are some of the rumors and some of the things that you want to tell everybody about, Jennifer? If they have any questions about the policies and the things that they're going to try to initiate, what are some of the truths about this healthcare bill?
Well, number one of the biggest things that bother me is that they say Obama is going to initiate death panels. This is one of the biggest lies that really get up under my skin. They're not death panels. What the bill actually says is that it encourages people, and this plan will pay for older people to have a living will just in case something happened or didn't want a certain treatment and, you know, they were unable to speak it themselves, they will have a living will that the government will fund through this bill that they can do that. That's all it is. There's no death panels. And another thing that's a lie that people are saying is that we don't have a way to pay for it. Actually, we do. They're still working on it, which is the truth. They're still working on a way to pay for it. However, Obama actually outnumbered in his speech that he gave about health care, what the Treasury is saying that this would cost. And then people say it is $900 billion, but that's over 10 years. It's not like in one bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. And that's another thing that really gets up.
So the thing about it, why, and this is to everyone that's on the line and everyone that's on the web chat, what is the reason for all this opposition against this health care? I mean, there's so much ignorance that's spread it out, spread it in the air right now. And the thing about it is, like we were talking about earlier, there are a lot of poor people out there that would benefit from this situation. But it seems that the ignorance that everyone is spreading right now is putting black against white. You see what I'm saying? They put black against white, and when in actuality, it's really more so poor against rich. Mm-hmm. So how can we get past that?
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead.
As far as the health care reform, I am for it. But I'm going to tell you something real quick. I worked with a young woman who, single parent, two sons, she actually had to leave our office because she could not afford our office's health care. What they put, you know, what they paid was very minimal, so her premiums that they were taking out of her check were, like, astronomical.
Right.
Now, here is Obama, our black president, wanting to change this. She has actually gone to the point where she has held, like, town hall meetings and stuff, and she's against it.
What?
So I said to her about a couple of weeks ago, I said, wait a minute, don't you remember when you had to leave our firm because you could not afford to pay the insurance premiums for your two sons to be, you know, on the health plan? And now our president is trying to change all that, and you're holding town hall meetings against this, and she's coming up with lies, a couple of them that Jen, you know, touched on.
Right.
And then finally I said to her, well, if that had been a white president stating they were going to do this, you would have thought that was the next best thing to slice bread.
Sure it would.
Exactly.
Had nothing
they
to say.
They fought Clinton on it, too, though. They did fight Clinton when he tried to get health care passed in the 90s. They fought him just the same. It wasn't as ugly as they're saying now, but they did fight Clinton back in the early 90s. I think more than less, we have to pay attention to who is funding these town halls, who are funding
the insurance company. Everybody know that.
The insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance company. We have a town hall in my town, and we basically did a video letter to our congressman, and we told him, if you didn't vote for this, we're going to vote you out, and, you know, you'll
she
be
basically said, did the same thing. She told, you know, her congressman, if you do vote for this, we're going to make sure to get you out.
Wow.
And
really?
It was really, really interesting. It really was. And I just find it disheartening because there are so many people that are in need of this. And let me say this,
right,
too. Not just the poor. You have working class people who cannot afford insurance.
Yes,
and
the working poor.
Yes, and they have children that they cannot even afford to insure. I mean, and the thing is, too, the other lie that keeps going around is that it's going to wipe out, you know, like once this if this goes through, you have to drop your current insurance. That is not the case. How many times has our president said over and over again, if you're happy with your insurance coverage that you have now, you can keep it. This is another option.
Right. That is the option. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But listen, thank you so much for letting me say what I had to say. I really appreciate it. I really, really like this show.
Hey, thank you. And we need to make sure we stay in touch on the email thing. We got some things we want to throw your way also.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
We appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all listen to what. Go ahead and give the plug on your show.
Okay. Thank you. It's Colors of Class. We're on every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. And actually, well, you know from last week's show, a couple of topics are thrown out there.
Yeah.
But Thursday's show is how long does the new woman have to put up with the drama from the past woman?
Oh.
I didn't know that one did win.
We're going to send Jen over there to that one.
Right. Now, is that 9 p.m. Central or Eastern?
9 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
And we're going to actually put in the title, if not tonight, sometime tomorrow, having some computer issues. That's why we haven't put it in yet.
Okay.
But check us out every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio, every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right.
Okay, thank you. You all have a good night.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank
you.
All right, take care.
All right.
Bye.
Jen.
Yes.
Could you throw out some of those stats out there for us real quick, please? What do you got for us?
What stats?
Anything. What do you got? What's up with these Democrats and these Republicans, these rich people who have health care and don't have to worry about paying for anything?
Well,
really, they don't even need insurance because they got so much money, they can just go there and pay for it.
Yeah.
And leave.
Yeah. Well, there's 43.7 million Americans right now without or little to no health insurance. 43.7 million Americans, which is a lot of people. And it's basically, it's unacceptable. I'm really, really about healthcare is pretty, you know, down the line, I think, where, you know, basically the president says we need a public option.
Yeah.
I don't know why people fight public option. I personally would like single payer where no one, like we have in, like they have in Britain and they have in Canada, where no one pays for health insurance. We all have, the government pays. If you need to go to the doctor, you just go.
Yeah,
and
but you know what? We live in a country where you have people that feel like they love to put up, don't tread on my rights, and, you know, you're infringing on their rights or whatnot. They all feel like it's the privilege factor. You know, this is my right to do X, Y, and Z. and I'm not paying for nobody else. That's socialism.
Our Bill of Rights. Yeah, but
hey,
our Bill of Rights.
I understand
sure
that, but I'm just saying we live in a society
liberty.
Where people feel that they don't have to help nobody do nothing. It's all about me, I, me. You know, in my opinion, I feel that we need, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem helping someone else out. Hell, I'd have been in the store, somebody short on their change, I'd give them, the, you know, whatever they need on change. But
right.
We can't make that difference here. Seems that different thought of mind state. Well, man, it's been a great show. We kind of went over on our third song, but we still can rock this one right here. To everyone that's on the web chat, to everyone that's on the phone line, we do appreciate you tuning in. We wish we could have got more comments. We appreciate Marva for giving us those great comments, Jen, for dropping them jewels, and you know we're going to be at it every Sunday.
That's right.
Left field on you, girl.
All the time.
And our third song of the day is Waiting on the World to Change by... Man, what's that little dude name?
John Mayer.
He real short.
John Mayer. I love him.
I know it.
Mayer.
He's pretty cool. Real cool smoke guy. Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen.
Waiting on the world to change.
Man, then
we
talk about
a great
about
show today,
thing.
People. I got to get it in there at least, you know, one time out of the joke. Mm. So, let's see what we have down here. I want to place a quick comment before we close out. We're live on the Middleman Show.
Middleman Show, oh. What's up?
What's happening,
Booger? What's going on?
What's going on, man? I caught y'all just in time, huh?
Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, man, I'm just following up listening to y'all talk about the healthcare issue, man, which is crazy. You got all these people in these little small towns in D.C. all me acting a fool.
Yeah. Why
well,
you think they doing that, Boogie?
Real bad.
Well, why you think they doing it, man?
Huh?
Why do you think they acting like that, man?
You know, they don't like the person. They don't like the person in office. They feel like he's helping too many of us. They feel like we're about to get ahead, I guess.
Yeah. Man, right on point as usual. Right on point as usual. You got anything coming up, man? Any shows or anything?
I'm supposed to be at the Columbus Heritage Street Festival the 1st through the 3rd, October 1st through the 3rd.
And that is Columbus, Mississippi, y'all.
I won't move until I get out of the
pot. Oh, you ain't moved so you get out of the pot?
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm going out for show money.
Most definitely. And that's Columbus, Mississippi. What's that time that they trying to do that? That's going to be an all-day thing?
Yeah, it starts at 12. It starts at 5 o'clock p.m. Friday until like 12 that night, and then it kicks off again that Saturday morning, like 9 o'clock.
Okay.
12 again.
Well, y'all make sure y'all go check out our man Booger Brown, and then when he get his deposit, he going to be there and make sure he do a great show for the people. Man, we need some new video from you, man. We need some new video from you, man. We need to put something new on the front of our page, man. What's the business?
I'm compiling everything that I'm doing right now together right now as we speak.
All right. That's cool, man. We appreciate you for tuning in, man. We about to go ahead and shut it down.
Wait a minute.
All right, man.
What
Al,
you got there, Jen?
Your congressman is Greg Harper, and the number is 601-932-2410. Okay?
Look at this.
Greg Harper. I want you to call in the morning. Did you write it down? I'm going to give it to you after
Greg
the show.
Greg Harper, 601-932-2410.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Hey, who is mine then? Who is mine? Who is mine since you're trying to put my feet to the fire?
Listen, we don't have to worry about yours because your congressman was a guy who got the swastika on his office, black dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. He's in there. So you don't have to worry about yours.
They putting me through all this for nothing. I'm going to call him. What am I calling him for? He already know them white folk crazy. The other people are crazy.
Well, I was trying to make a point.
Yeah.
You call him and tell him you support him and that you're thanks to him for what he's doing.
Yes, sir. So, Al, what we got, man? What we got going here, man? We about to go ahead and close this thing out.
Yeah. Let's go and take it out, people.
The middleman shouted, beat Chris shouted. Nah, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, don't take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout it and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out the master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. BlogTalkRadio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middleman.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I'll make sure y'all join us next week.
All right. Same time, same middleman show, people. And we will be getting into it again, as always.
Hit me up on email if you want to know your congressman name.
Yeah, no, matter of fact, yeah. Do that. We are the middlemen at gmail.com. Y'all make sure we're going to put up that Gen List Part 1 and Part 2 on the front page, the list itself on the front page of wearethemiddlemen.ning. So make sure you get on there, get your profile. To all our people on the web chat, appreciate you. To all those haters, you know what you can do. Holler back, and we are out.